already 4 down, 1 to go with the work week as we head home on a Thursday with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Coming up this hour, it is your high school football picks of the week being presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. Got that in about 8 minutes from now. Also later this hour, Tommy Schegler, he'll weigh in with his thoughts on week number 9 of the high school football season. Hard to believe we turned the page from the regular season to the postseason after tomorrow night. And, of course, looking at some of the games in the area and the SAC, Dwangers at Northrop. You've got Southside at Homestead, Wayne at Carroll. Of course, the Northside-Concordia game officially has been canceled. Concordia was trying to find an alternate opponent, and they announced today that there will not be a football game this week for the Cadets. Northside dealing with quarantine issues related to COVID. The big one out at Lewis Field, where we will be for 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM coverage. Snyder is at Bishop Lewis. NE8 action, Belmont at East Noble, Huntington Horse at New Haven, Leo at DeKalb, Norwell at Columbia City. ACAC, you got Bluffton at Lakeland, a non-conference matchup. Also in the conference, Heritage is at Jay County, Southern Wells at South Adams, Woodland at Adams Central. And finally, in the Northeast Corner Conference, Angola at Eastside, you've got Cherubusco at Fairfield and Garrett at Central Noble. That's some of the area games, some of the games I'll be picking coming up in just a few minutes on our high school football picks of the week. You know, so far, you look at the Colts' record, they're 1-4. The one thing they haven't seen is a really elite defense. In fact, going into this week against Houston, they'll have faced 5 of the worst defenses in the entire NFL as far as yards allowed. It's starting to look like maybe the Seattle loss wasn't exactly a real good outcome for the Colts, because I think Seattle's defense is really leaky, and the Colts only had 16 points and struggled mightily in the red zone against Seattle. But it's, you know, they've played teams that have good records and teams that had impressive records from a year ago, but it's not like they've played teams with elite defenses. And that's one reason why I think they shouldn't have taken their foot off the gas against the Baltimore Ravens, is because you've got a team that has to win with their offense. Baltimore historically has always been known for being a defensive team. This year, not so much. They've given up some points and they've had to win with some rallies and with their offense, and the Colts kind of gave them an opportunity to do that, and they ended up winning. And so the Colts 1-4 with Houston coming to town. This should not be a close game. It would be very disappointing if the Colts end up with a tight game that they've got to struggle to win against the Texans, because the Texans are as close to a tanking NFL team as you're probably going to find. Davis Mills has not been good. I think he's actually ranked as the lowest ranking starting quarterback as far as quarterback rating in the NFL. And the defense has been very porous. The defense allows a lot of yards rushing. The Colts should be able to gouge them with the running game. It just should not be a close contest. So we'll see how it goes this Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium as the Colts take on the Houston Texans. Injury-wise, the Colts have announced their injury list from practice earlier today. On the report, you've got Rodrigo Blankenship. Looks like he's going to be out this week, maybe next week too, dealing with that hip. From what I heard, the report was there's inflammation in that right hip, and they don't expect it to cure itself by this Sunday. So it's, who is it, Badgley? Michael Badgley is going to be the kicker that you can all boo when he misses a field goal. Let's see. Darius Leonard, still out. Ankle, shoulder. You add shoulder to the list. Ankle was on there before. He didn't practice yesterday, but that would have been a rest day. And, of course, the Colts didn't actually practice. Today he was limited, so he should be okay. He's just been dealing with the same things pretty much every week. Xavier Rhodes and Andrew Sendejo both dealing with the concussions that were suffered in the games last week. So you don't know what you'll get from Rhodes or Sendejo. It just depends on whether they get cleared before Sunday's game. They're not going to practice this week. Braden Smith still out. Did not practice with the foot and thumb injuries. Kamoko Touré out with a groin. Did not practice today. Now, Rock Ya-Sin was on the practice field. He's trying to come back from that ankle injury. Had limited practice today. My guess would be he would be limited or full practice tomorrow. I think Yasin will make it on the field. The Colts need him. They are so desperately short right now in the secondary. Kwity Paye, fighting with that hamstring, did get a chance to practice, full practice today. Looks like he's on his path to returning for Sunday. Isaac Rochelle, dealing with an illness, but he was able to practice both yesterday and today. And Jordan Wilkins with the non-football illness. Still no details on that. I'm not sure what the story is with Jordan Wilkins, but he was a DNP, did not practice today. That's who's out for the Colts so far this week. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Of course, coming up later this hour, Tommy Shegler is going to jump in to make his picks. Also, here's the question. I want to get you to text us. In fact, you can start texting us actually right now. We'll go through some of the text coming up here in a little bit. But give me the four teams as of right now that you believe are going to be ultimately the college football playoff teams. What four teams do you put right now into the college football playoffs? And I'm not saying as of today. I'm saying based on what you've seen and what you project, who will be the four teams that actually make the college football playoffs when we get to the end of December. 46862, let us know on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Also, don't forget, if you want a great deal on an oil change, you go to Cruzy Automotive Service, Lima Road, north of Wallen, south of Till, behind the Shell gas station. They can get you fixed up for just $15.75. You'll save over $17 on the regular price of an oil change. And, of course, if you need that synthetic oil or you need extra oil, sometimes you need 5 quarts, sometimes you need 6 quarts, they'll hook you up with similar discounts on all the oil changes. But if you get a regular 5-quart oil change right now, it's just $15.75 at Cruzy Automotive Service. I've trusted them to take care of my car since about the time I started driving, and you can trust them too. Cruzy, K-R-U-S-E, Automotive Service Center, Lima Road. They're north of Wallen, they're south of Till, east side of the road, right behind the Shell gas station. Call for an appointment at 489-1089. 489-1089, you can get hooked up at Cruzy Automotive Service. So every week at this time, we decide to present to you our high school football picks of the week. Been tearing it up this year. Absolutely tearing it up. Almost guarantee 100% accuracy. If 100% equals like 90%, then I can pretty much guarantee it. So here we go. It's another week of our high school football picks of the week, and it heads to your radio in 3, 2, 1.
Queen Sports Station, 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM. Now, the high school football picks of the week, presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic, 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM.
And here we go. It is so hard to believe we finally made it to week number 9. It is the final week of the regular season for high school football. Away we go. We'll start in the SAC, where the Bishop Wenger Saints will go to Spooler Stadium to take on the Northrop Bruins. The Saints have taken care of business when they played teams in the bottom part of the standings in the SAC, and I think they'll take care of business against the Northrop Bruins. Bodie Dickerson has become a weapon, and Bishop Wenger, I think, has found something offensively when they spread the field and find their outstanding wide receivers. Oh, they'll still be able to run the football, but now they've got more balance in the passing attack. I think that makes the difference as Bishop Wenger wins it 37-14.
You are one pathetic loser.
The Southside Archers go to Homestead to take on the Spartans. Not much to play for either one of these teams except momentum to head into the IHSAA State Tournament Playoffs. Homestead's got a grind of a sectional, having both Carroll and Warsaw, 2 1-loss teams, in their Class 6A sectional. Homestead is too balanced, and the passing attack will produce results. I've got the Spartans winning it big at home over the Southside Archers, 48-13.
I'm going to recommend you to everybody.
The Carroll Chargers are at home against the Wayne Generals. This is a Wayne team that I think can really make some noise once you get to next week's state tournament. But I don't think they'll make enough noise with that ground game against the Carroll Chargers, who've had the best defense in the Summit Athletic Conference. We know Carroll can score, but they can also defend. And the Chargers roll 48-14.
I thought I told you to get lost.
Now the 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM Game of the Week. It's going to decide who takes home the victory bell. For the Bishop Lewers Knights hosting the Snyder Panthers, they hope that they get to keep it all to themselves. The Snyder Panthers hope to get a win over the Knights and get some help from the Wayne Generals so that Snyder can paint the bell black and yellow. Look, the challenge for Bishop Lewers is going to be at the line of scrimmage. They got to be able to match up with a bigger, more physical team in the Snyder Panthers at the line of scrimmage. They have to take away the Panthers' running game with Tyrese Brown. Otherwise, Snyder can control time of possession. They can wear down Bishop Lewers' offensive weapons by forcing so many of them to play defense. But in the end, too many weapons for Bishop Lewers. I think this one stays close, but I think the Knights will finish off an undefeated regular season, 9-0 in the SAC, with a 33-27 win.
Is he all there, like mentally?
The Belmont Braves got their win and ended the 26-game losing streak last week. Now they go up to Kendallville to take on the East Noble Knights, who after a bit of a lull during the regular season seem to be back on track. No looking ahead for East Noble. They've got Leo coming into Kendallville next week to start the Class 4A playoffs. But I've got East Noble winning this one 42-20.
Talk about lame.
Totally.
The New Haven Bulldogs might be one of the hardest teams to figure out. They'll welcome Huntington North into New Haven for an NE8 battle Friday night, and I think New Haven wins this one close, 32-28.
You are literally too stupid to insult.
The Leo Lions are 8-0, undefeated, and the only thing ahead of them is East Noble next week. Boy, what a game it was when those two teams met the first go-round. Leo can't get caught looking ahead. They go to DeKalb to finish off the regular season. But the Barons just don't have the horses to compete with this tough running attack of the Leo Lions. It's all Lions up in DeKalb, 55-6.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid? Why?
The Norwell Knights have really been impressive this year. I don't know if anyone expected them to have the kind of season they have had with only a loss to Leo on their slate. They'll be tested as they go into Columbia City to take on the Eagles, but I think Norwell prevails 27-13.
Why don't you stop talking for a while? Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
It's out of conference play for the Bluffton Tigers as they head up to Lakeland to take on NECC opponent, the Lakeland Lakers. Lakeland can defend, and that's going to be important in this one, because I think Lakeland can limit Bluffton offensively just enough to eke out a 26-19 win.
You don't know squat, you stupid idiot!
The Heritage Patriots had a tough start to the season. A lot of that is because of the way the schedule was balanced. Now they've got a chance to get another victory at Jay County, and I think the Patriots prevail. The Heritage Patriots, 33-19.
Don't you ever get tired of being wrong?
Southern Wells visiting South Adams. Tough year for the Raiders. It's just a matter of numbers. A school system with not many kids trying to field a football team and stay competitive against teams like South Adams that are just so strong. This one won't be close from the start. The Starfires roll over Southern Wells 61-0.
Do you know how crazy that sounds?
Another team in Northeast Indiana that's trying to finish off a tremendous regular season and go 8-1 with momentum heading into next week's showdown against Cherubusco. The Adams Central Flying Jets will host the Woodland Warriors. Again, one of the keys for this is that Adams Central doesn't get caught peeking ahead to that big meeting with the Eagles next week. I don't think they will. I think the talent disparity between Adams Central, a team that is dominated by really good senior players with 3 years of experience, they're going to be ready for Woodland and they'll win it. Adams Central 41, Woodland 7.
Oh no, I pressed the wrong button again.
Eastside rolled last week in the battle against Central Noble, and I think the Blazers just continue to roll. They'll beat Angola 42-12.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
Fairfield was an unbeaten regular season champion in the NECC large school division a year ago. They seem to be playing better football of late. They'll welcome a Cherubusco team that has that big one with Adams Central next week. Does that get Cherubusco looking ahead? I don't think so. I think the Eagles win this one in a war at Fairfield 27-20.
You're pretty good.
Another close one in the NECC has the Garrett Railroaders visiting Albion to take on the Central Noble Cougars. Central Noble will want to pound it on the ground against that Railroaders defense. I just don't know that it's going to be enough to win the football game. I think Garrett gets a big play or two from their quarterback and wins it 26-20 over Central Noble.
You know, I didn't think this could get any worse, but ha-ha, it has.
And those are your high school football picks of the week. Presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic on Fort Wayne Sports Station. 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM.
Big news in Major League Baseball. Not only do you have the Dodgers-Giants elimination game coming up tonight in the National League Divisional Series, but the St. Louis Cardinals have fired manager Mike Schilt. Got to be a shock. Three straight years making the playoffs, and the 17-game winning streak that they had this season and got them into the playoffs this year, not good enough. And apparently it's all about the future direction of the team. And apparently ownership and the brass decided that they weren't on the same page with Mike Schilt about what direction they wanted to go with the future of the St. Louis Cardinals. And they decided rather than have him on a lame duck contract for next season, it was better to make the move now. Here's what's even more surprising about this, Caleb, when you feel like you're not getting the whole story, is that the St. Louis Cardinals generally in Major League Baseball, teams do not fire managers on days of playoff games. They pick off days or days where a team's already eliminated another team. So like yesterday, you could have had an announcement. The St. Louis Cardinals apparently had to get approval from Major League Baseball to announce the firing because it was happening on a day of such a high-importance game, such as the Dodgers-Giants. So the timing is odd. They met with the coaching staff last Friday. They apparently hadn't had any further discussions with anybody until today. This morning, they decided to make the call. They asked what Schilt's reaction was to being fired, and they said he was shocked and did not expect it to be coming. Well, I think he kind of joins a lot of us who are a little shocked and didn't expect to see this coming.
Puzzling move. I mean, the guy goes out, leads the team to, 18 in a row. They get a wild card spot after being completely out of it for a while, play their way, make the playoffs, fall in that wild card game to the Dodgers. Just seems like he had done enough to keep the job, and there's obviously more at play beneath the surface in this one. I saw something somewhere about a disagreement between management and what Mike Schilt wanted to do with the direction of the team. He had a year left on his contract, so they just decided to pull the plug now.
They didn't want to have a lame duck manager, especially when they had already made the decision that the future of the St. Louis Cardinals would not be under the guidance of Mike Schilt. Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, cited philosophical differences. He declined to expand on those differences, saying the move was, quote, something that popped up recently. Now, I don't know, a lot of times it may be personnel decisions. It could be coaches' decisions. Like the organization wants to have a certain coach either come in or be let go. Maybe Schilt is standing up for his guy. Don't really know what the situation is because they're not getting into the specifics of this. But Mozeliak went on to say, with him having 1 year remaining on his contract, we could have gone into 2022 having that over him, but we decided internally it'd be best to just separate now, take a fresh look as we head into a new season. The Yankees now, of course, there was thoughts that maybe Aaron Boone would be on the market, whether the Yankees were going to continue with Aaron Boone. It looks like Boone is going to stay. A number of the coaches for the Yankees are being terminated. So big news out of Major League Baseball today.
So Aaron Expletive Boone is going to stay.
It does appear to be the case. It looks like the Yankees are going to have a major shakeup. This just came down just almost 30 minutes ago. A number of moves under manager Aaron Boone include not renewing the contracts of assistant hitting coach P.J. Pilater. He is one of the assistant coaches that's not going to remain. Apparently, a couple of other coaches also not returning, including third base coach Phil Nevin. He is going to be gone.
That's not surprising after all the controversy on him sending Judge.
Yeah, it all comes down to one wave of the arm, and it's basically a goodbye to Phil Nevin. So changes in New York, but not involving Aaron Boone, because sometimes these things happen when an organization might have their eye on a particular candidate that they would love to have as manager, and if they wait until the next year, they may not be able to get them. So, you know, something like this could happen. It's just baffling to me that they just all of a sudden made this decision, seem to have made it pretty quickly, and have admitted that the manager was shocked by it. So it's not something that's an ongoing situation where both sides are drawing a line in the sand. I just don't get it. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Tonight, Dodgers and the Giants. Now, we talked about Knebel is going to start for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And here's what I find fascinating is Corey Knebel gets the start, throwing a few innings to get a lefty hitting lineup for the Giants. In other words, the Giants like to platoon and stack the lineup lefty-righty. By starting Corey Knebel, you end up getting a lineup that's going to feature a lot of left-handed hitters. Then once you got that lineup in the lineup card, you can then bring in Julio Urias early, which rather than start him, bring him in second or third inning, and now he's facing a lineup that's loaded with left-handed hitters, forcing the San Francisco Giants to maybe switch and start putting in right-handed hitters. And then when you get to the end of the game, you don't have the bench that you normally would have because you've already exhausted your left-handed hitters in the starting lineup. Your right-handed hitters, when they brought in the left-handed pitcher early in the baseball game, very interesting. And I got to give credit to our texter here who came up with this entire philosophy. 5737, good thinking here that could be the play for the Dodgers is trying to make San Francisco exhaust their hitters, both lefties and righties, early in the game, so they got a depleted bench should this one come down to the late innings, which a lot of people are expecting. This is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a tight baseball game.
It's worked as far as starting Knebel so far this season. He's started four games for him, allowed just one run in a total of five innings. So it's been an effective strategy. Innings. But yeah, not a lot of innings.
No, I would expect he's a one or two inning guy. So I guess the question is, if you're San Francisco, what lineup do you put out there? Do you go ahead and put the righties in against the right-hander? We'll see what the lineup cards look like tonight. Is it a 9 o'clock start? Is that the official start time tonight?
9:07 Eastern.
So it'll be a game that might end by 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So late night tonight, might as well tell the boss you're going to be a little late getting into the office tomorrow morning, or I might want to tell my boss. You know, my boss is on vacation. I don't have to tell my boss. Of course, I'll be up and ready to go at 5 a.m. But late night tonight, Dodgers, and because you've got, here's the deal. I'm probably going to watch the football game for the most part until it gets out of hand, and then I'm going to switch over and watch Dodgers-Giants until 1 a.m. in the morning.
I'll be podcasting, and then after that, by the time I get home, I mean, it'll be late, and I'll probably just watch baseball. I love postseason baseball. I think it's very entertaining. The stakes are higher. There's a lot more pressure. Yeah, the games are really long, but I think there's been a lot of intrigue as well.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Tommy Schegler. We'll get his take on what to expect from high school football coming up. We haven't talked to Tommy in a couple of weeks. It'll be fun to get his thoughts as we enter week number 9 of the high school football season before next week. And again, a reminder, we mentioned this earlier in the show, that next Friday night, we will start our postseason coverage from Kendallville. The East Noble Knights hosting the Leo Lions, a rematch from a classic during the regular season where Leo, despite having a 32-12 lead, ended up blowing the lead in the fourth quarter. It got tied at 32 before Leo then kind of got things turned around and were able to score to reclaim the lead 40-32 and come up with a defensive stop to win the game. It was a classic up in Kendallville during the regular season. We'll be there for the rematch next Friday. So join us next Friday from East Noble for the Knights versus the Leo Lions, round one, class 4A, sectional football on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4-6, rain falling in the Summit City. I believe we're going to get about 20 hours of rain and then maybe a spit or two tomorrow night. Hopefully it doesn't kind of disrupt our Friday night of high school football. We're going to be out at Lures Field for the Snyder Panthers and the Bishop Lures Knights, one of the few grass surfaces that we've got in the Summit Athletic Conferences. Tomorrow night, it should be a lot of fun as Snyder and Lures play for an SAC championship. Snyder beats Lures, then Harrell would be the one that would decide the fate of Snyder. Snyder would have, at worst, a three-way tie for the championship if they beat Lures tomorrow night. If Carroll loses to Wayne, Snyder could actually claim the SAC championship all by themselves. So that's what's at stake tomorrow night. Of course, a Lures win, and it's Bishop Lures unbeaten, untied in the SAC. They would be your SAC champion. We asked the question, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, who do you have as a projected Final Four for the college football playoffs? Did get a text that came in that said Georgia, Iowa, Cincinnati, and somehow Alabama is going to find their way there. Caleb, you and I talked about that. We think that Alabama's path is they've got to win out, and even if they beat a Georgia team that's unbeaten in an SEC championship game, that both those teams would probably still earn their way into the college football playoffs. So here we go. It is that time. Thursday, we get a chance to visit with Parkview Sports Medicine Director Tommy Schegler. When he doesn't take sick leave, which he has taken on us for the last couple of weeks, he's healthy, he's back, and for better or for worse, his mouth is fine. Tommy, good afternoon.
Yes, my mouth is undefeated. my body and my, in this case, my shoulder is not. I had a little bit of shoulder surgery, and I'm on the mend, though. I'm feeling better.
Good. Well, hopefully it didn't affect your brain too much because you know, Duke was just a master at making these picks. And so you've got a very high bar, a high standard to be able to uphold here as we go into the final week of the regular season.
Oh, no. It's a PSM combined record, Rumpy. PSM mark.
Oh, as a team.
Yes. There you go.
So even when you're laid up and not having anything to do with this whatsoever, you're still taking credit. You're a hell of a boss. That's the way the boss works. let's look at the schedule. Can you believe it's week 9, Tommy?
That is crazy. I will say this. Ever since I started being involved in high school athletics, though, the regular season of the football season always flies by like it's 2 weeks long. But, I mean, you still have almost, you know, a full another half of the season left to go. But, yeah, the regular season flies.
So here we go, final week in the SAC. Let's not start with the big one. Let's start with Bishop Dwenger, Spooler Stadium against the Northrop Bruins, two teams that just happen to be in the same sectional. And, you know, I got the sectional draw here somewhere. I know I do. I'm just trying to take a quick peek at it. These two teams will probably not meet in the postseason. This will probably be the only time they meet. But two neighbors going at it to end the regular season. What do you have with Dwenger and Northrop?
Yeah, you know, Dwenger's just been such a kind of a head-scratcher this year, just kind of the roller coaster that's been their season. You know, they definitely have kind of stumbled as of late, and we'll see what happens as they get into the postseason. But I do think they enter the postseason with a win. I don't think that they will have any problem with Northrop.
Then you've got Southside on the road at Homestead. Should be kind of a tune-up for the Spartans, who face a tough sectional path.
They haven't lost to Southside since joining the SAC. 126 to nothing in the last three meetings in this series. And I probably don't think it gets much closer in this one. It'll be another Homestead rule.
Harrell would have to be caught in the trap game, knowing that they've got Homestead on the horizon in postseason play. Wayne visits Carroll.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough task for Wayne in this situation. This will probably be another situation where Carroll will enjoy running the score up on a lesser opponent.
Yeah, you know, I look at that and I keep thinking, okay, if I wanted to try to come up with a reason where Carroll could be vulnerable, and it's awfully hard to find one, but you do have that game looming against Homestead in the sectional. You do have Carroll, who might be doing some scoreboard watching instead of taking care of their own business, because Carroll would like to have some share of that SAC title. They're only going to get it if Snyder beats Lewers, which means they don't even control it. And that brings us to that Snyder-Lewers matchup. Big one tomorrow night to decide who wins the SAC title.
Yeah, you know, this takes me back when I moved here in the early 2000s. There was a period of time for 5-6 years where this was the game year in and year out. Everyone talked about it. It was just the two big boys going at it. And then for a while it was Snyder Dwanger. It changes around obviously from opponent to opponent. But that being said, these are two just, old SAC pillars going at it. Just fantastic rivalry, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think that Snyder has had a typical Snyder season where they've gotten better as the year has gone on. They have had Lourdes' number in the series as of late, 9 straight wins over Lourdes and by an average of over 21 points a game. But I do think that Lourdes has got a special thing going this year. They're the unanimous number one. They've looked great in almost every single week of the season, and they're getting it done on both sides of the ball. I think this one is probably somewhat close, but I think I'm going to go with Lourdes.
The rain could be a player in this game tomorrow night. Snyder, I think they're just happy to be playing on grass and downpour. Just bring the rain, because I think Snyder wants this to be decided in the ground attack, where they can use their physicality at the line of scrimmage and Tyrese Brown. But I'm with you, Tommy. I think that Bishop Lewers has something special going. Carson Clark's had a terrific year throwing the football. Sir Hale has been healthy all season, and I've got Lewers in a tight one. All right, let's go NE8. Shouldn't be surprises here in the NE8 with East Noble hosting Belmont. The Braves did get that elusive win last week. They broke the long losing streak, but I don't think they're going to be able to get two in a row.
I agree, but it was really cool to see them get a win. I mean, 26 straight games, a long time to go without a win, and so congratulations to them, but they probably head back to the losing column this week.
Huntington North and New Haven. Bulldogs, one of the toughest teams for me to figure out this year, but I think at home in the final game of the regular season, I think New Haven will have just enough to win this one.
I agree with that. You know, I think that at home they're a different team, and I think that athletically they'll have the advantage.
I've been saving this one, Tommy, because I'm just waiting for those magic words of the upset special. Leo is at DeKalb.
That will not be happening in this particular matchup. I think that, I think I've mentioned this on the show a couple times. I mean, with my daughter being at Leo, I've seen Leo more than any other team this year. I think Leo is in trouble when they get against a team that can get the ball out on the perimeter and have some speed out on the perimeter. But that team is not DeKalb, and it's not going to be a problem for the Leo Lions this week.
Tried to set it up for you. Norwell, Columbia City.
This is one that you could consider maybe a long shot upset special. Columbia City is always good at home. You know, I'm not sure how much I buy into the 7-1 Norwell Knights. I think that they're fine. I think they're a good team, but I think that they are beatable. I'll go with Norwell, but that's a mild upset special of the week. Watch there.
Casey Kolkman, kind of the victim of his own schedule, because Heritage always starts off tough, and then we start to see this team come around. I think they're in a prime position to pick up another win on the road trip to Jay County.
Yeah, it's a hard road trip, though, to go out to Jay County. And they have had Heritage's number over the last several matchups. I think they've won four straight against the Patriots. I do think that you're right that Heritage does seem to come around in the second half of the season. They've outscored their opponents 103-35 in the last 3 weeks, to be in fact. I'm going to go with Jay County in this one as the home team.
Southern Wells at South Adams.
Oh, South Adams, big time.
Woodland goes to Adams Central. It would be the shock and upset of the night if the Warriors can go into Monroe and knock off the Flying Jets.
I'd love to pick them. We did a great profile on longtime Woodland assistant and stat guy Bruce Amstutz.
I saw that.
On our social media pages at PSM One Team on Twitter and on Instagram. What a great guy and what a great pillar in that community and example that he's been to a lot of those young men since, I believe, 1988 with Woodland. But I think Bruce is going to be a little upset tomorrow night. I think Adams Central wins.
Looking at a couple of the NECC matchups, Angola, been kind of a disappointing year for the Hornets. They've got to go to Eastside, and it's a chance, I guess, to spoil the unbeaten season of the Eastside Blazers. We saw them in person last week. Eastside definitely for real. I don't think Angola's got the team this year to give Eastside their first loss.
Agreed. This one will get ugly, and it will get ugly early. Eastside rules.
One of the better games, tougher ones to pick, might be this Cherubusco-Fairfield game. Fairfield's played better of late. Cherubusco, solid season for Paul Sade. What do you have for Busco at Fairfield?
That's a hard road trip to go up to Fairfield. They beat Busco last year 24-6, but they had lost the previous four. I think Busco is got the better overall team this year. I think this is close, but I'll stay with Busco.
Railroaders and Central Noble. The Cougars have kind of been grounded a bit over the last couple of weeks. They, I don't want to call them a fraud, but sometimes, you know, it depends how the schedule plays out, who you play when. For Central Noble, they've had it tough the last couple of weeks, and they've fallen twice in a row, and last week was not close. Now they've got Garrett at home. Do the Central Noble Cougars rebound?
I mean, one team is 6-2, the other team is 4-4, and all that stuff that you just said is fine and dandy. But when one is 6-2 and the other is 4-4, you're looking at an upset special of the week, Rumpy. Chris DePue circles the wagons and he gets it done on the road.
I will give you credit because we don't have any more games. So if it was coming, it had to be on this one. I'll give you the upset special because I'm also all over it. I've got Garrett to win it as well. Tommy, what do we have happening at Parkview Sports Medicine?
We just continue to work really hard at the schools. Obviously, you've heard a ton of the numbers coming out of the schools with COVID and the Delta variant. We just want to remind parents and kids that are at school to continue to be diligent. We know that COVID has been around longer than any of us would want it to, but we want the sports season, the fall sports season, to continue and finish out. And we had a game that was canceled this week because of issues around COVID. So we want to see these young athletes get to finish off their dreams and their careers, things they've worked for. So, please continue to be diligent around mask wearing and making sure that you're not sharing equipment with each other and water bottles. And if you have athletes, just remind them of these rules that they probably know now, but probably are getting a little fatigued upon. But it's more important than ever that we continue to be diligent so that we can keep everybody competing out there.
Great message. Appreciate it as always. Good to have you back, Tommy. Look forward to talking to you about tournament play coming up next Thursday.
All right, buddy. Missed you.
Tommy Shegler joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Of course, the director of Parkview Sports Medicine. He is back, and he's calling his upset special of the week, the Garrett Railroaders, Central Noble Cougars. He's going by the records on paper. Okay, Tommy, but I've got Garrett too, so I don't know how far out on the limb he really went on that upset. But it's a tough week to call an upset because some of these matchups here in week number 9 appear to be pretty one-sided. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you've got questions, comments, or suggestions, we'll take a final break. We're coming back. Don't forget the High School Football Coaches Show just minutes away right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We're just ahead of the High School Football Coaches Show coming up at the top of the hour. And speaking of high school football, did get a question that came in on the text line. Three-way tie, who gets the bell? Here's what's interesting. If it's a three-way tie, because we had this situation a few years ago, it actually goes to each school for a three-week period during next year's regular season. So for 3 weeks, it will belong to one team. 3 weeks, it will belong to another. 3 weeks, it belongs to another. It can get painted or repainted each time, but it is actually shared between the three schools 3 weeks each if it's a three-way tie. And even though the SAC does use tiebreakers, if you end up with Snyder, Carroll, and Lewers tied for the championship after tomorrow night, there will be no tiebreaker that goes deep enough to break the tie because the tie breaker is head-to-head and all three teams would be 1-1 against the other two opponents. But that is a question that came in on our text line. Also, major accident, Canterbury Green, avoid the area. That came in on the text line just moments ago as well. That will do it for our Thursday edition of the Sports Rush. Justin Keddy standing by for the High School Football Coaches Show to get you set for week number 9 of the high school football season. We're at Lewers tomorrow night. Thanks to our guests, Chris Denary and Tommy Shegler. Have a great Thursday. This has been the Sports Rush.
Podcasts by Federated Media.